Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Jerry Berkson. And hello again, Jerry.
Hi, everybody.
We have Dr. Michael Levine on the phone. And actually, before we go further, Doctor, could you please give out your telephone number and where you're located, et cetera? Because that I haven't said yet, which is wrong.
Sure. I'm located in Lake Success on Marcus Avenue. 437-4228 is my office number. And we're open Monday through Friday.
Okay, that's 516-437-4228.
Correct.
Okay, terrific. We're talking, if anybody might just listening right now, November is National Diabetes Month, and Dr. Levine is going over some do's and don'ts and how it has come about. I have a question. I have two, actually. Before you said supplements, are supplements significant, or and how do you know if you need a certain one added to your diet, or is a normal, pretty well-balanced meal enough that you don't need to? I mean, another one of these advertising things. I'm sure it's a multi-billion dollar industry with people taking all pills all day long.
You're absolutely right. It's heavily marketed. Certainly, there's a huge profit incentive for the companies that are selling the supplements. And most people, as you said, who have a balanced diet don't need the supplements. But I will say that there is a role for supplements, especially in the elderly population.
Okay.
Who may be noticing some bone loss. Calcium, vitamin D are very important, so your levels should be checked. A bone density test, when appropriate, should be ordered. And if it shows signs of osteopenia or osteoporosis, which is bone breakdown, calcium and, again, vitamin D supplementation is important. So I use some supplements in my practice as a urologist. But, again, you have to be careful because the supplement industry is not well regulated. These supplements are not going through an FDA approval. There's really no standard to verify the content of these supplements. So you need to be educated, and I really think it's important not to buy from advertisers, but to buy based on what your doctor recommends.
Okay, that would make sense. I mean, you see all these tremendous ads that you're going to lose 30 pounds or you're going to put on muscle and all this other stuff. And it does sell, obviously, because they wouldn't be running the ads if it didn't.
Absolutely.
But I've never heard that. That doesn't make sense. If the doctor turns around and says your bone density is whatever, then you go on some sort of a supplement.
Yeah, there is a role, like I said, but don't just run to the store because some advertiser says that this is something you should be on. You can get toxic levels of some supplements and some minerals and vitamins that could be very detrimental. There could also be interactions, especially in the elderly population where people are on multiple medications. You could have interactions with your medications that could really be devastating.
Right, that's true. That's another important point. You actually, in general, you shouldn't be taking anything that you're self-prescribing. If the doctor hasn't said, yes, it mixes well with this, I'm not even paying attention to that. But you do read about it sometimes with these herbs that people take to find out it's a negative effect on some important drug you may be taking.
Right, because many times the supplement and the pharmaceutical you're taking compete with the same enzyme that breaks them down. So if you have now two drugs competing to be broken down, the real medication may not be broken down quickly enough, and you can develop toxic levels.
Okay.
Diet is really more important, isn't it? Regular, to eat regular healthy food.
Yeah. You are what you eat, and small healthy meals. And again, I think we all know what that is. It's hard to do. But if you don't know and you feel like you're gaining weight or you don't feel well, you're constantly tired, there is certainly a role for a trained professional nutritionist to help you. And I recommend my patients a nutritionist all the time because I'm not trained in nutrition. I know they need new help, and they need help with someone professional, and they should go. I just think that as a population, we feel that we can do it on our own.
Absolutely. We're going to jump back and forth. Again, we're talking senior population. Exercise is important, but from a senior, exercise does become more limited.
It does. And again, this goes back to the professional help comment that there are personal trainers, there are programs, many of them are online. Most of my seniors are now using computers so they could find workouts that are low impact, that won't put them at risk. You can do many exercises just by sitting in a chair with light weights, stretching, resistance bands, but it's a general theme of you need to keep moving. Whether you're running, whether you're sitting, whether you're doing something in place, people need to keep moving. And it keeps your metabolism up. It keeps you more flexible. It, when you're working out, it keeps you more mentally sharp. You wind up sleeping better. So the benefits go on and on and on. But you could. I think the one element in this, if we can change one thing in this country that will help, number one, decrease health costs going forward and making people feel better, it's people need to move more. We're a TV generation or a TV society. We're an internet society. We need to get away from the screens, and we need to just start moving our bodies and exercising, and the benefits go on and on and on.
On that very subject, Doc, of moving, Project Independence has a variety of programs that are, of course, specifically geared for seniors, where the movement for the body is done very moderately. So whichever program you want to participate in, yoga, for example, or Tai Chi, or any kind of movement like that, any kind of exercise, we let our seniors know that they can register for these programs, and they will be moving their bodies in a moderate way. And that's, I think you would agree that that's important.
It's tremendously important. The benefits are just even beyond the movement, just being involved socially. If they can get themselves into a senior group where they could see people periodically and feel more socially connected. I mean, again, this all leads to general well-being.
That's such an important point. I've been reading several articles about the fact that we are not as connected as we were before the era of modern technology. We see the kids walking around with cell phones, smartphones, and they're right next to each other. They could talk to each other, but they don't. And the same, and of course, seniors have that benefit. And the idea that I've seen, the observations that I've made, is that when you get into organizations and we have, I'm going to put in a plug for REAP in Great Neck. It's called Retired, Energetic, and Active People. And that's the mental part of keeping active. I happen to live in the Great Neck School District, so I'm aware of the adult program that they have, and that also includes all kinds of movement. So, like you said a few moments ago, it's the combination of the biological and the social that will help everybody.
Agreed. I worry about the younger generation. I kind of wonder who's going to be talking to each other come 10, 20 years when these kids are running the world. But it's a problem. And I see in my patient population, the senior patients I care for who are doing things, whatever it is, an exercise class, a book club, a cooking class, those who are more engaged are just, they're doing so much better in their senior years. The rate of depression is lower. The rate of weight gain is lower. They sleep better. Couldn't agree with you more that we must stay engaged. And unfortunately, the society is giving us every reason not to engage. And we need to fight that. And we need to put the phones down, get away from the computer, get out there and interact.
Another aside with the Project Independence, this is their 10-year anniversary. And, Doctor, I don't know if you probably don't know this, we've gone over 11,000 members are participating in Project Independence throughout the town of North Hempstead. Now, it's still only about 20% of the senior population, but these are people who would normally have just been, I mean, I see it. You hear people retire, they're watching TV, you know, they go to the diner for lunch, and then they go back and watch TV.
Correct.
And it's like a dog in a kennel sometimes. It's like, well, that's no way to live for the next 20, 30 years. Get out and do something.
Yeah, you need to do something, and there's something that every one of us could be doing. It just takes some effort. Sometimes it takes some charismatic family member to push them. But whatever the initiative is, it needs to be taken. And I always encourage my younger patients. you know, to stay engaged with their grandparents and, you know, make sure they call them, you know, because these little things that keep you engaged, I really think will go a long way.
I agree. Going back to the diabetes, there's certain areas of the body, and I know eyes are one, that get affected if you become diabetic, and especially a severe diabetic.
Right.
What are the, you know, the areas that people, I mean, my point is this, I'm reversing it. If your eyes start going bad, is that an indication you have diabetes, or one has nothing to do with the other?
No, just because your eyes are you having difficulty seeing, or your prescription strength is increasing, it doesn't mean you have diabetes.
Okay.
But uncontrolled diabetes can certainly lead to eye problems, as well as problems with other organs, such as the kidneys, such as the heart. It could affect your bladder. As a urologist, I see a lot of people who come in with urgency frequency because they're spilling a lot of excess sugar into their urine, which causes a diuresis. So you're right. There's the snowballing effect, or the cascade effect, of uncontrolled diabetes, or someone who's not diagnosed. Remember, about 1 in 3 people with it aren't diagnosed. They're having another symptom, and they should be thinking, could this be a presenting sign of diabetes?
Okay.
Another very common thing is excessive thirst. People who are constantly thirsty, that's often the first sign of diabetes. So these are red flags that family members and doctors should be looking for.
The fact that you have 1 in 3 undiagnosed, is diabetes part of a routine annual checkup, or no? You have to ask for it.
Most routine annual checkups will include a fasting blood sugar, and if your fasting blood sugar is high, that would be a sign that the possibility of diabetes needs to be investigated. Plus, some of the symptoms we discussed, whether it be hunger, weight loss, excessive thirst, an increase in urine output, slow healing wounds, because the blood vessels are affected by diabetes. If you have a cut on your on an area where smaller blood vessels are supplying that area, such as your ankles, your toes, and those wounds aren't healing, that could be a sign of diabetes because of the decreased blood supply caused by it. So these are things to be on the lookout for. Numbness or tingling in your toes because the nerves that supply these areas aren't getting the blood supply they need, and that could affect how the nerves function.
Amazing. Okay.
How do we become advocates for preventing diabetes?
Well, I think it's basically, in general, a healthy lifestyle with movement, a non-sedentary lifestyle, eating the right balanced diet, keeping the weight down so you don't develop insulin resistance and develop type 2 diabetes. In general, it really goes back to the same kind of a heart health diet. You know, just a healthy living is basically what's going to help prevent what you can prevent. Now, some people will develop it regardless of their lifestyle, but many will develop it as a consequence of their lifestyle.
Right. And some people will get it no matter what, unfortunately. But there's
correct.
That group that could avoid it, but because of lifestyle, wind up getting it.
Can we
Those are the ones we can call.
I'm sorry. Can we identify local places, for example, is it through the American Diabetic Association, that we can find out, let's say, here on Long Island or Nassau County, town of North Hempstead, where there are meetings so people can go and get the basic information about what they can do for themselves, for their friends?
You know what? I'm going to interrupt
Okay. Because
we're out of time.
Okay.
That can be done by calling 311.
Okay.
But now I want to make sure I thank Dr. Michael Levine, and doctor's office is in Lake Success. His phone number is 516-437-4228. And that's right off Marcus Avenue. Doctor, I want to thank you so much for taking your time out of your schedule to spend it with us and educate us and our listeners to what's going on and what to look out for.
And from me, thank you, Dr. Levine.
Have a great day.
Pleasure.
We're going to take a break now. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.